Kof Dalet Avra Rishon, Monday the 28th of February, Rabbi Yaakov Hamer, Torah in Real Time.
Good morning everyone, and thank you to Dudi and all the organizers for inviting me back to speak. It's been several months. I actually had a baby about 8 weeks ago. Ruchim to you. Now Rosh Hashanah, the dust is settled, getting back to normal, and I'm delighted to be back. I'm actually very proud of myself that I was able to give a title for today's shiur. Usually it's either a topical theme or a parasha theme, which means I have no idea what I'm going to speak about the parasha, nor what I'm going to speak about Yom Tov. So I came up with a title of Torah in Real Time, which is not so clear exactly where I'm going with that. Some of you probably think that it means that... I'm sorry?
You're making up on the spot.
Making up on the spot, exactly. If a person is asked to give a shiur for half an hour, you only have 15 minutes of material. So what does one do? You stretch it out a little bit. You give a long introduction and a long conclusion, and you tell a story with a bit of a tenuous link, and then you repeat a lot and so on. Or if a person is only supposed to speak for 15 minutes and they've got half an hour of material, so they speak very, very fast. So perhaps hearing real time means that the length of the shiur should fit nicely with the content of the shiur, which I do hope actually will happen today. It might actually be a little bit shorter than usual. Actually, the title refers to something else. It refers to a very interesting yesod, which I saw this year in the Sefer Sam Derech from Simcha Zisla Breide, which I'd like to share with you this morning. I'd like to bring out the point which he says by asking four questions. Let's go back to Parshas Vayetze. We know that Yaakov Avinu was Beireach from Esav. Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, and he ran away. And we know that for many years he was in the Beis Medrash Shem Be'Ever. How do we know this? Chazal tell us that we learn this, that the Pasuk says that when it's reckoning the years of Yishmael, so Rashi brings over there in the name of Chazal that it must be that Yaakov was actually in the house of in the Beis Medrash of Shem Be'Ever for 14 years learning Torah. The question, the simple question which one can ask is, if you were Esav HaRasha, and you wanted to kill your brother, and you know that your brother is an Ishtam Yoshev Yehalem, there's one thing which he likes to do. He likes to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn. Now in those days, it's not like it was like it is nowadays, where there's hundreds of yeshivas, one single yeshiva in the world. The Beis Medrash of Shem Be'Ever. And Yaakov Avinu, when he goes to learn, he's in the Beis Medrash, Shevah Malayla, as we know Chazal say, he didn't actually go to sleep. So how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu was able to, so to speak, fly beneath the radar? I mean, you don't need to be from the Secret Service or the Mossad in order to say, 2 plus 2 equals 4, Yaakov, somebody went to learn, I will go, the first place that I will go is the Beis Medrash of Shevah Eber, and let me see if I can find my brother. And yet, we find that for years and years, he enjoyed learning the Beis Medrash undetected. The Bali Atesis and the Bala Turim say, why is it that Parshas Vayetze is a Parshas Stuma, meaning in the entire Parsha we don't find any Psuchas and Stumas, right? It's just one run-on, it appears as if there's no breaks whatsoever, there are no breaks whatsoever. Why is this? And they say the reason why, Mipnei Sheyotze B'tzina Mipnei Esav. Because Yaakov went, but Sinai went very quietly, very inconspicuously, and he wasn't detected. He was Nitzman, so the Torah reflects this by writing the Parsha as a Parsha Stuma. But the Kasha still remains. How is it possible that he was able to go undetected? The truth is, we find that Chazal also make reference of this type of concept that we find sometimes in the Parshas of Psuchos and Stumas, and it comes to reflect an idea. We have in the beginning of Parshas Vayechid. The Chazal say, Parshas u Stuma. Parshas Vayechid is Stuma. There's no gap, there's no break between Vayigash and Vayechid. Chazal say two reasons, Rashi brings it. Lama Parshas u Stuma, Levisha Kevin, Shenifta Yaakov Avino, Nistamu Einayim, Volibam, Shal Yisrael, Mitzoras Hashibuch, Yischil Lashabdom. First reason, the reason number one why the Parsha is Stuma, is with the demise, with the Ptira of Yaakov Avinu. Nisimoineyev, there was a Stima Sinayim. The Sheba started to, the Sheba began, and that's the reason why the Parsha is a Parsha Stuma.
Is the Rashi you say? It's a Rashi.
This is a Rashi. Rashi brings this. No, this is Rashi and Vayechi. Rashi and Vayechi brings this.
Oh, but you're referring to Vayechi.
Well, there was one. Originally, we mentioned Vayetze. Vayetze is also Parshas Tumah for a different reason. And I was saying, at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, Chazal, which Rashi brings, says that it's also a Parshas Tumah for a different reason. Another reason Chazal say, Dover Acher, Shebikesh Lagalis is a case, Labona, Vinista Mimenu, Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children when is the case, when is the end of days, and Nista Mu'ayneim, right? It was taken away from him. So either the steam is referring to Klal Yisrael, or it's referring to Yaakov Avinu. But we find that Chazal also use this type of concept of the way that the parasha is written, if it's stuma and if it's psucha and so on, to reflect ideas. Another question I would like to ask, though, is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara tells us on the parasha of Vayhi ben Soya Haron Vayimra Moshe. So again, Rashi brings B'Shem Chazal that this parasha, the Gemara says, parasha zu asal HaKadosh Baruch Hu simanis melamala v'lamata. We know that there's a nun before and there's a nun after the parasha. Loimer she'ein zemakayma. And it's coming to teach us that this is not actually the correct place for this particular parasha. The Gemara goes on to say, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Asida parasha zu shetiyake mikan, in the future this parasha will literally be uprooted from here, v'tichta b'mkoyma, and it will be written in its place. V'loma kos v'kan, and why was it written over here? Why was it inserted over here? K'dei la'afsig bein peronis v'shem l'peronis sh'niya, in order to make a break between the first peronis and the second peronis. Meaning to say, that had there been three Puranas, three Averis, which the Bnei Yisrael would have done, one after the other, consecutively, without any break, that would have been catastrophic for us. That would have shown that Klal Yisrael, we are Mushrish in Avera, doing three Averis back to back, and therefore, the Torah broke and made a gap, made a hafsek between the first Avera and the second. What were the three Averis? The first Avera was, Chazal tell us that when they left Har Sinai, they left Ketinek, HaBereach, Mibes HaSefer. They ran away from Har Sinai for fear that maybe Hashem was going to give them even more mitzvahs. That was the first Avera. The second one was the Pasha of the Misoinim, and finally the Pasha of the Asafsuf. So between 1 and 2, between the Bricha from Har Sinai to the Pasha of the Misoinim, so the Torah inserts the Pasha of, I even say, our very nice, beautiful Pasha. Again, the question is, that's all very nice. But what actually happened? There were three Averis back to back. There was Bereach from Sinai, Ketinek HaBereach Mibes HaSefer. There was the Pasha of the event of the Misoinim, and there was Asafsuf. So for the Torah to conveniently go and insert and place a Pasha which isn't in the right place to somehow, you know, give the facade, give the appearance as if there wasn't three Averis back to back, it's simply false, it's not accurate, it's not an accurate rendition of what happened. So what are Chazal telling us over here? Another question, similar type of question, which some Chazal asks, is when it speaks about the Petiro of Terach. So the Pasuk says, Vayomas Terach Becharon, the end of Parshas Noach, it speaks about Terach dies. And then, Lech Lecha V'yem Hashem Lavrom, Lech Lecha Mi'atzcha Miladcha, and so on. So Rashi brings in the name of Chazal. This isn't actually true. Chronologically, historically, this isn't true. It wasn't that Terach first died, and then Avraham Avinu was commanded with Lech Lecha. In fact, what happened is that Terach died well over half a century later. So why is it that the Torah first mentions and records the death of Terach, and that precedes the tzivui of Lech Lecha? Chazal say, because otherwise Avraham Avinu isn't going to look very good. Yeah, Avraham Avinu, you're a big Baal Chesed, you're speaking about Chesed all the time, and you leave your poor old father to fend for himself. This is the Chesed, this is the Kibbutz Av of Avraham Avinu, the big Baal Chesed of the world. So again, what does the Torah do? You know, conveniently the Torah goes ahead and proceeds and writes, prefaces the death of Terach to the Yitzhak of Avraham Avinu. So again, asks Rav Simcha Zissel, what's going on over here? How can the Torah do this? The fact that the Torah records it like that, we know, and perhaps if other people find out, we'll have to answer this question, you know, how can the Torah do this? So he explains as follows. He brings there's many different ways to bring up this point. Several chazals which say the same thing. He brings the Yalkut Shimoni, Remez, Tof Reish Nun Ches, where the Yalkut says, Tof, Kuf Ayin Deirus Kodim Shinevra Haylam. 974 generations, whatever that means, generations before the world was created, but 974 generations before the world was created, Yashiva Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'dorash, V'chiker, V'bachan, V'tzir, V'skala Terakula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in the creation, the formation, the fine-tuning of Kol HaTerah Kula. And Chazal go on to depict and describe in great detail what does it mean how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was arranging and being Masada the Torah. V'chol Dovah Shem Yedivrei Torah, Dorshei V'chaykrei V'tzorafei B'ramach Ba'omim, K'nei B'ramachei Barim Shem Adam, V'achakach Yitziyam Yipiv, V'kovei V'Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu placed every single mitzvah in a particular place, in a particular portion, in an appropriate area in the Torah. And the Medrash goes on to say, and if for some reason anything would be different, there would be any change whatsoever, even small, then that would be a terrible korban. That would be a korban. Says Rav Simcha Zisla, we see from here a fantastic idea, an incredible idea. And that is, it's not the pshat that the Torah is a history book. It's telling us over very important events which took place. What happened with the Avos, what happened with the Imos, what happened with the Shvatim, Bnei Yisrael, Mitzrayim. And we learn all different types of incredible lessons from it. Loizu Seif Adar, this is not what the Torah is doing. The Torah, as we know, as the Nafsh HaChaim and many have told us, the Torah is the Metzius. And the way, not only actually what the Torah is, the Psukim, but the way that the Torah is portrayed, the way that it's recorded, the way that it's presented, that actually is the Metzius. Meaning to say, even to the extent of a Psucha, and a Stuma, or a lack of a Psucha, a lack of a Stuma, that is going to make a real physical manifestation in this world. Let's go back and look at some of these things which we asked. The first question that we asked was, how is it possible for Yaakov Avinu to go undetected for so many years, Yaakov Avinu being the Ishtam Yeshiva Yehalem? So, say Tosis, say the Balaturim, very nice. So you know what, that's the reason why the Parsha is Stuma. Very nice Remez, how does that answer the Kasha? The Teretz is, that's the Teretz. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Parsha as a Parsha Stuma. If the parasha is a parasha stuma, that gave Yaakov Avinu the ability to be undetected. That's what gave him the wherewithal to sit in the base medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, and no one would be able to find him. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kiveya the Metzias in such a way that parashas Vayetze is a parasha stuma. It's a parasha stuma. It's going to have some type of a bitui. There will be some type of a manifestation on the events which took place in Parshas Vayetze, namely that Yaakov Avinu was able to fly beneath the radar, as we said. And the same is true in Parshas Vayechi. Chazal say that Parshas Ustumo, so Rashi brings from Chazal one of two reasons, either Kevin Shnifta Yaakov Avinu, Nistim, or Yenem, Alibim, Shal Yisrael, Mitzar, Sashiba, Shishil, Lashab. But there is not just relating and telling us back the events which took place. The way, the vehicle, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shibud start, is by making Parshas Vayechi a Parshas Stuma. What's a Parshas Stuma? That means there's going to be some type of a manifestation, Nistim Ve'Einayim Shel Yisrael Mitzaras HaShibud. Or another idea is that Yaakov Avinu wanted to be Megalah the case. Says Rav Simcha Zisla, what was the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could remove the ability of Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba Olis, from revealing the Kates? The only way to do that was to make Parshas Vayechi a Parshas Stuma. If it's a Parshas Stuma, as we said, it's going to have some type of a manifestation on the characters, on the Avos, on the Imos, on the Shvatim, on those who were involved at the time. to the extent that now Yaakov Avinu, it was Nisla Meinov, he wasn't able to be Megal of the Kates, because Parashas Vayechi is a Parashas Tumah. Exactly the opposite of perhaps how we would initially understand what the Torah is doing. The same is true when it comes to this third point, the third question that we asked. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, Vayivin Seir Aron. So we asked, it's very nice, perhaps, if we didn't have any Derech Eretz, it's a nice trick. But at the end of the day, there were three Averis back to back. Tinek HaBorech Mebeis HaSefer, Seinim, Safsuf, and so on. How can the Torah conveniently insert something between number one and number two? The answer is no, you've got it all wrong. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us is, even if Radin happens to be they do three Averis chronologically back to back, but it doesn't mean that Chet is something which is integral, intrinsic, inherent in Klal Yisrael. It's something which is foreign. The Maral says many, many places that Chet is the mikra of Yisrael. It's not something which is be'etzem, a chelik of Klal Yisrael. So the way that the Torah portrays this idea is, it's got to be, we have to have something to be mafsik, being Puranis Rishena, the Puranis Shniya. And that shows us very, very clearly, very vividly, that chait is something which is a mikra. There's no such thing that we're mukhsa to do averus. We asked this question about Terach. The Terah again does the same thing. It's not accurately portraying the historical events. First it says Terach dies, and then it says that Avraham Avinu was nitzav in Lech Lecha. The answer is, we know that Terach was a rasha. Terach was a Rosh Marusha. Terach went to Nimrod and he complained about his son, and Nimrod took Avraham Avinu and threw him into the Kivshan Aish. Terach was not the type of individual that Avraham Avinu was Mechuyev in Kibud Av. Simply wasn't Mechuyev in Kibud Av. His father was a Rosha. Nevertheless, practically speaking, there was a problem. If Avraham Avinu is going to go and leave his father by himself, people would start to speak. And people would say, oh, the big Baal Chesed of the world, where is your Kibud Av? Where is your Chesed? Chesed starts at home. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Vayomas Terach. Terach is dead. Which means, in the consciousness of the people at the time, Terach was dead. People simply didn't think anymore, hey, Avraham, you left Terach, you tell your father's alive, and you left him for so many decades by himself, to fend for himself, how can you do such a thing? No, because the Torah brings the pasuk of Terach. It prefaces that pasuk. So to speak, in the time, in the real time, in Shemayim, it's considered that the Terach is a dead man. If he's a dead man, people simply aren't going to ask the question anymore. And that's the reason why the Torah did it. With this yesod, it opens up so many parshas in the Chumash. If you keep your eyes open, I've seen myself at least two or three other examples that the way that the Torah portrays a particular event, that is kiver what the Metzias was, not only for us, but also for the people at the time. Just give one more example of this. It says, Vatamas Dvera Menekes Rivka, Vatikavi Metachas Lebeisel, Tachas Alun, Vayikra Shmei Alain Bachus. That the Torah tells us about the Petira of the Menachas of Rivka. Rashi says over here, B'Shem Chazal, Vayikra Shmei Alain Bachus, that this is a remez, this is an allusion to the death of someone else. It wasn't only the Menachas of Rivka, but it was also Rivka, Rivka Imenu, Rivka was Neferis. And that's what the Torah is alluding to in these words of Vayikishmei Alein Bachus. It was another Bechia, there was another crying over here. A little bit difficult to understand. Rivka Imenu, this is the covenant which she's given. The Torah doesn't mention explicitly the Petira of Rivka, it mentions the Menachas of Rivka, and by the way, we happen to hear also that Rivka also died and there was a second Bechia. And this is the covenant which we give to Rivka. So Chazal are bothered with this, and Chazal say in the Psikta that there was a little bit of a technical problem over here. Chazal say, who's actually going to bury Rivka? Chazal go through the list of possibilities. Avraham Avinu, Avraham was already nifter. Yitzchak, Chazal say, he was blind. He wasn't able to do it. Yaakov, he wasn't around at the time. Esav, he hated his mother, Chazal say. who's going to bury Rivka? So Chazal say, and the Ramban explains this. The Ramban says, his lashon is avitachin loymer shleihayu la kavid b'misasa. There wasn't a great deal of respect of kavod at the levaya, at the death, and at the levaya of Rivka Imenu. Yaakov einenu sham, ve'esav seinu isav, ve'leyavu shama, ve'yitzchak eyuena, ve'enenu amyetzim yibesei, ve'lechein leirotza hakosev lahaskir. The Torah didn't want to publicize the death of Rivka. She'ik berua b'nei ches, the b'nei ches should bury her, the b'nei ches were anshei resha. So for the Torah to publicize that Rivka Imenu passed away, that would cause the B'nai Ches to bury her. So therefore it was done very, very quietly. And the Mefarshim say, some of the locals, some of the simple people, some of the townsfolk, they were the ones who actually buried Rivka Imenu. But again, before this you say the Rav Simcha Zissel, it's Tamua. The Torah didn't want to publicize the Patira of Rivka Imenu, Sheyik Barua B'nai Ches, because if the Torah publicizes it, then the B'nai Ches will bury her. But if the Torah didn't publicize it, the B'nai Ches wouldn't hear about it. It's only because, you know, Deri Deris later on, you know, it would write, you know, V'tamas Rivka, the Rivka dies, so then the B'nai Ches retroactively would hear about it. It says, Simcha Zissel, what do you mean? Rivka Imenu, Isha G'dol Ad Ma'oi, the wife of Yitzchak. Everyone's going to hear about the death of Rivka. The Torah didn't write it because for fear that maybe the B'nai Ches would be kaver. Again, says Rav Simcha Zissel, that this is the idea. The idea is that had the Torah publicized the death of Rivka Imenu, that means it's public knowledge. If the Torah doesn't publicize the death of Rivka Imenu, that means that it's not public knowledge. That people just simply didn't hear about it. They didn't know about it. The B'nai Ches wouldn't know about it. And ultimately, who went ahead and who was kaver? It was some of the locals, some of the good, you know, the simple townsfolk. You know, when I saw this, I thought it's a very uplifting idea. Ashreinu Matir Chalkeinu, we're sitting, we're learning Torah, we have the ability to understand Torah, and that Torah is not just a history book, not just a very, very important history book with loads of important lessons, but it's actually shaping the reality for us.